The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, Shasta County. That was Billy Joel, My Life. My name is Kevin Cry, and this is my show. It is a great day. Today is July 16th. The weather is going to be absolutely hot, like it seems to be every day in July in Northern California. It's going to have a high of about 111 at about 5 o'clock. Throughout the week, actually, it's not going to be so bad. It'll even get down to the low hundreds, like on Tuesday, it'll be 103. But I want to say hi to my dad, Belita, and my nephew, Cooper. They are traveling to the airport. They were actually in town this weekend because last night I had the honor of giving my daughter away to be married to Carson Gillum. So hello, Carson, to my new son-in-law and my daughter. They're both, I'm sure they're already probably on their flight to their honeymoon, which is exciting. You know, my wife and I, and I'm not going to spend a ton of time on this morning, but we raised our daughter to be tough, resilient, very rooted in her beliefs. Even my new son-in-law, during his toast, said one of the things he appreciates the most about my daughter. She sticks up for the little guy. And that was a really proud dad moment for me. Throughout my campaign, she actually once delivered a speech when I wasn't able to attend because I was out of town for work. And at the time, candidate Kellstrom, now Supervisor Kellstrom, said if he's ever out of town, he's going to have her speak on his behalf. So that was really cool. Kylie, I love you. I know you're not listening, but I know you'll probably listen to this back at some point. Super proud as a dad. Mom and I are just thankful that you've turned out the way you are. It's going to be so awesome watching you tackle the world and doing it with Carson, because he's a fine young man, and we're very, very excited. We will be taking some callers on some of the topics we're going to be going over today. So I'm going to give you that number now. We're not going to take callers quite yet, but I want you to have it ready. That number to call in is 530-605-4567. Again, that number is 530-605-4567. Remember, just because you call in doesn't mean you're going to be put on, but it's pretty random. But we're going to try and get to a few callers because we have a lot of topics I want to cover today. I want to cover a little bit of this past board meeting and the code of conduct. It's awesome. People are already calling in, so it's like Jeopardy, right? He's like two sentences into the question, and people are buzzing because they think they know the answer, which is great. I like the interaction and the engagement. But we're going to talk a little bit about the code of conduct. We're going to talk about some things coming up on the next board meeting on the 25th, which is the Redding Rancheria deal. Going to talk some about the Zog Fire settlement, and I want to talk a little bit about some salaries and public money, because ever since the budget hearing, I can't get away from the amount of information that was presented and just some of the different public's opinion on what budget hearings should look like. And again, this is, as a supervisor, one of the things that I ran on, and I'm more determined and resolute than anything, is to have a very open, transparent look into the people's money. So before we get to all that, I've got a gentleman here. His name's Wynn. I won't give his last name because I don't know if I can do that, but he's actually with Child Support Services with the county. And he is going to speak to us on one of the programs that I'm extremely, extremely excited. And this is the 7th annual Backpack and School Supply Drive. One thing is working with kids all these years, confidence goes a long way with anybody, but especially kids. And when kids don't have the necessary items they need for school, it puts them at a huge disadvantage educationally, but then also emotionally, because when kids don't feel prepared, anxiety comes, and with anxiety comes shutdown. With shutdown comes probably not, let's just say, less than stellar outcomes academically. So there's a cascading effect. So something as simple as pens, pencils, markers, binders, backpacks, can make all the difference in a kid's life. And when I'm taking your thunder, man. I'm sorry. So tell us a little bit first what Shasta County Child Support Services does.
Well, Kevin, thank you for having us, having me today. And our department works with families as a neutral party to establish and enforce child support and medical support orders. Our vision is empowering families and enhancing the lives of children.
That is awesome. How long have you been with the county?
I've been with the county for 15 years.
That's awesome. And you were a teacher prior?
Yes, I taught out at a local high school out in Cottonwood.
That's awesome. I know you said West Valley. I mean, I'm a Cub, so, you know, I'm going to – but you're wearing blue. So, you know, as a former Cub wearing blue, I'll let the West Valley part slide. But, no, thank you so much for being here. So tell us a little bit about what the Backpack Drive is all about.
Well, right now we're seeking donations of new backpacks and supplies for our annual drive. We have every August to celebrate Child Support Awareness Month. And we are happy to be working with Advanced Reading, who has donated their parking lot for our giveaway this year. We've outgrown our own parking lot. Last year we gave away 402 backpacks. And our goal this year is 500 backpacks. So we're just looking to get out in the community and help our children be successful.
Man, that is awesome. What does now, is there a place the public, or when, and what's this date again that the actual drive is?
We have set that for August 11th, Friday, and it will go from 9 to 11.
Okay, and when, are you accepting donations all the way up to the 10th?
We will accept donations all the way up to the 10th, yes.
Okay, great. Now, where's a place that somebody can bring items to drop those off?
You can come to our office at 2600 Park Marina Drive and just come into the lobby. We have a bin there that you can drop them off. We would love to know who you are and name and recognize you as well. So please, you know, talk with the receptionist there, and we will gladly accept those donations.
Great. What are some items? Just list off a bunch of items that you guys could use. I mean, is it any school supplies, or is there things specifically?
It's any school supplies that you want to donate. We try to reach children from 5 years old all the way to 18. So, you know, pens, pencils, paper, you said it earlier. Protractors, rulers.
Glue.
Yeah, that would be fantastic.
Okay. Is there, like, calculators, anything like electronic like that they'd need, or not so much?
We haven't really received any of those, but we would gladly put those in the backpacks. This year we had HHSA donate 500 dental packs.
Okay.
And so we're putting them in the backpacks as well. So.
Yeah. The very first time I know I learned of this was we had donated ninja passes for my ninja gym, I believe, to Kiwanis for their backpack drive. And then hearing about this one as a supervisor now, that's I'm excited. So I know you guys will take pretty much anything that could be related to school-age children. And then if not, worst case, it'll go to a good cause, I'm sure, correct?
Absolutely.
Is there a phone number someone can call?
Yeah, if you are interested in finding out more information, you can call our outreach coordinator, Stacy Zhang, at 530-229-8767. Or you can call our office number, 866-901-3212, and we'd gladly route you to the appropriate people.
Okay. And monetary donations, if they want to send those in to the address you gave, who do they make the check out to? Shasta County, probably Child Support Services?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Shasta County Child Support Services, and then we can, you know, get those.
That's perfect. What on average, do you know, like an average backpack filled with stuff? Like if someone says, hey, I want to do 10 backpacks, like what's that roughly? Do you have any idea? 25 bucks, 30
bucks? We went and bought some backpacks just yesterday, and four of them cost $135.
Okay. So those might have been for older kids, possibly.
Yeah, when you add all the other things that you're talking about, calculators are extremely expensive.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it could be very challenging for some families to afford.
No, that's great. And if you guys heard the duck quack in the background, that was my phone. Everyone, I tell everyone to make sure their phones are off. or at least silence, and then I leave mine on. But anyway, Wynn, is there any last parting things that you wanna let the public know about the 7th annual Backpack and School Supply Drive?
Just, you know, it's important for us as a community to come together and support our children, and we would appreciate any support that you would want to give. If, you know, you want to donate your time, we could certainly fit you in, but we appreciate any donations that you want to provide.
You know what, and I just thought of something. I have an event on August 5th. And I will have, at my event on August 5th, I will have a bin there. So if people want to, if listeners that are coming to my event on August 5th want to bring some backpack or school supplies, I'll make sure we get those dropped off and get those over to you by the 10th. So Wynn, I really appreciate you coming early on a Sunday morning, and the work that you do is some of the most important work. You know, I've always said kids can't choose their parents, and, there's a lot of kids that go to school needing a lot, and you, my friend, are filling that gap with your staff at Child Support Services, helping these young people equip for their day on so many different levels. So thank you. Seriously, thank you.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for wearing Anderson Cub blue. I appreciate that. So with that, we're going to take our first break, and when we come back, we're going to jump into some of these topics we spoke about. Again, I'm going to give you that number because I want to get the calls people ready to call in. So that's going to be 530-605-4567, 605-4567. I am Kevin Cry. This is my show, and we will be right back.
I said he'd be on. He never was a hero for this county's shining light. But you could always find him standing up for what he thought was right. He'd say, you've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything. On the screen. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
Hi, this is Cindy at Laux Landscape Supply, located at the intersection of Dersch, Churn Creek, and Airport Road. We are your one-stop shop for everything in your yard. We have all the small rental equipment like the stand-on mini skid steers to get you through those walk-through gates, or Beretta trenchers on tracks are quick and easy to operate, and the popular vibroplates for compaction of pathways or prepping for under artificial turf. Make your job easy with the powered wheelbarrow on tracks. And of course, we have all the products to make your yard the envy of the neighborhood, including all the soils, sands, gravels, sod, pavers, retaining wall blocks, and multiple size trucks to deliver with no minimum, making your delivery the most cost-effective way to get your job done. So whatever your project, big or small, come check out Laux Landscape Supply at the intersection of Dersch, Churn Creek, and Airport Road. Find us on the web at LauxLandscapeSupply.com or give us a call at 530-378-2220. Laux Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
You've something, or you'll fall for anything. Now we might have been better off far on the bigger house if Daddy'd done more giving in or a little more backing down. But we always had plenty just to live in his advice. Whatever you do today, you'll have to sleep with tonight.
All right. We are back. Love that line. Whatever you do today, you're going to have to live with tonight. And again, this is Kevin Cry. This is my show. And I take that pause. It's not for dramatic effect. It's just trying to make sure I really choose my words carefully here over the next 40 minutes, roughly, as we unpack a few things. And again, I had mentioned earlier about launching my daughter into it. Well, she's already been in adulthood, but launching into marriage in the next phase of her life. You know, did we prepare her well enough? And I watched a movie yesterday because one of the things is I love action movies, love Matt Damon, and I watched the movie Elysium. I'm not sure if you've ever watched the movie Elysium, and I'm not sure if some of the listeners do this as well, but sometimes you watch a movie and you kind of put it to your own life. You know, you look at it and like some of the from a memory standpoint or some parallels. So I'm watching Elysium yesterday, and if you're not familiar with it, there's an upper class that lives off of Earth. And then you have Earth, which is inhabited by, let's just say, a second class. And what I love about Shasta County and public service is you get to meet and interact with a lot of different people from a lot of different walks of life. Like at the wedding last night, we had heavy equipment operators, business owners, pastors, all different walks of life, all coming together, celebrating my daughter, her now husband, Carson, and it's beautiful because everybody is just rowing in the same direction. And that's what I think we all want for just Shasta County as well. We can all have difference of opinions, different hobbies, different things that make us tick. But there should be some things that just unite us, much like how yesterday a wedding should unite a lot of people. And when I look at Shasta County and I talk about Elysium and I talk about the different classes, one thing we should all really care about is how our money is spent in Shasta County. Now, I know a certain group of people thinks I've spent hundreds of millions of dollars, and it's almost like watching like Trump memes or whatever where they're talking about billions and billions, or like an Austin Powers kind of thing with Dr. Evil. But the truth is this board right now is doing, I think, a phenomenal job. Well, actually, I know a phenomenal job on auditing what we're spending, how we're spending it. So I want to unpack a deal that was made. And again, this is not about going after anybody or pointing out fault or being aggressive. This is about just making sure the general public knows how certain things happen. So when we rewind to last year, late in the year, when Matt Pontus resigned as the CEO and they were in a search for a new CEO. At the time, the public works director, Pat Minturn, was planning on a retirement at that point. And they decided to, and I know there was a few different people they put forward. I know this now. Didn't know this back then. And Pat Minturn was selected to be the interim CEO. Again, I have nothing against Mr. Minturn. Actually, the very first interaction I had with him, I shook his hand and I said, man, from one negotiator to another, congratulations, because you got yourself a heck of a deal. And he was kind of caught off guard by that. But it's true, because it was a heck of a deal. So I'm going to explain to you a little bit about how this goes. Upon his retirement from the road fund, all leave balances would have been paid out to the road department at his current rate of pay. So on 6-1 of 2022, a notice went out to the departments letting them know that the board unanimously voted to consider appointing Pat as an acting CEO at the upcoming board meeting. So he, of course, postponed his retirement to go ahead and do that. So they unanimously appointed him on 6-14 of 22, and on 6-19 of 22, he became the acting CEO. So Pat transferred all I mean, from the road department to the CEO's office on 619, all of his unpaid leave balances. So you say, well, Kevin, who cares? What does that matter? Well, what matters is Mr. Minturn left the public works at the F-step, which at the time was at $95.01, according to the salary schedule. So all promotions within the county, they require that the employee receive a 5% increase upon promotion. So if you get promoted, you have to be paid 5% more. That's just county policy. So the A-step of the CEO position would have represented a 15.9% increase. So let's just call it 16%. Okay, so he's at F-step as a public works director, and then the next step, the most not just logical, but the only step, right, the smallest step forward was the A-step, and that would have been a 16% increase. So that's more than 5%. It's actually triple, okay? So he was actually promoted to the CEO position at the F-step, which is $140.41. Let's round it down because I want to be fair. I rounded up the other one. I'll round this one down because it's closer. So $140. So the F-step represented a 47.8% increase, which is like 48%. So for the remainder of his life, right, for the remainder of his life, he is getting a 48% raise for, and keep in mind, his last day working in the office was January 31st of this year, of 23. So he's currently, well, he was currently running out his time as a CEO through June 30th. And then all of his leave that he had accumulated, which was well over 2,000 hours, all his sick leave, I think it was, well, yeah, it was 2,271.45. That's how many hours of sick leave. So that transfer is actually over at that higher rate, and is so we look at this. I mean, could you imagine? And again, this isn't his fault. This isn't his fault at all. This is the system letting us taxpayers down, letting us down big time. That this type of contract went through. Now, when we start talking about then there's a complicated formula when you start to look at PERS, and you have to dig in farther than I did, which was pretty far. But for retiring employees, they can opt based on years of service and position to cash out some or convert the remainder of service credit with PERS, or to convert all to service credit upon retirement. So that would be 400, and for him it was 479.85 hours of vacation. So when you look at that, you say, why is this important? I mean, approximately 56% of his salary will be recovered from the non-general fund departments through the cost plan. That means approximately 20% was unrecoverable as general government expenses, and another 30% of the remaining 80% will likely be borne by the general fund. The general fund. So transfer of balances, that's a normal process. And when an employee promotes from one department to another, that happens. But Mr. Minturn's 7.5 months of service as the acting CEO will cost the taxpayers an additional estimated, this is estimated, when I say estimated, it's going to be off by $500. So it's going to cost the taxpayers an additional $74,000 per year for the rest of his life. For the rest of his life. So that's a rough estimate. And only PERS can accurately calculate that full effect. But you look at the general fund, and now that $74,000 is going to be coming out of our general fund. And so, Kevin, why are you digging up the past? Why do you care? Because one of the things is to fully understand where you want to go, you have to understand where you've been and where you currently are. And when you have different department heads moving on to greener pastures, retiring, etc., you know, I'm asking the question, okay, so what's the average time of a department head across the state? And what's the average department head time within the county? And we're drilling it down, and I'll tell you, and I talk about it a lot, and people probably think, you know, Noel DeShort and I went to high school or something like that, but Noel DeShort's a rock star. I mean, she has the keys, because it's all numbers. It's all numbers. And if people really want to get an idea financially of where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed, You, Nolda Short's the one you want to go to coffee with. You want to talk to Nolda because she has all this information. So as we look at hiring a new county council, or we have a new public works public works director with Al Cathy's retirement coming up, I'm beyond confident in CEO Rickert. He has some phenomenal ideas, and if you don't know, he spent over 20 years as an elected official as a treasurer of a much, much, much larger county than ours. And there's a lot of things that we're going to be digging into even farther when it comes to the public, the public's money and what that means. Because I would like to see our department heads that we hire or that we have here. There needs to be a time where it doesn't become, well, it's the next man up that's going to spend a little bit of time, spike the retirement, and bail out. And again, I can't fault the individual. I can't fault the person because it's a system. It's a system that's flawed and broken, and it only perpetuates taking advantage of that. And when I looked at the $74,000 to the general fund that's going to cost, I was just like, wow. Like, how many backpacks? How many backpacks would that buy? I mean, that's pretty much backpacks for the majority of the lower income individuals across the county with that. And I'm not saying, again, that this is anybody's individual fault. This is the system, and this is the system that we're going to be writing some of this stuff here in Shasta County. So I want to jump now to the Zog Fire settlement. And I'm not going to go really, really in depth into what we're looking at with the court case or any of that, but it's really, for me, I want to go over briefly what some of the actual costs or what some of the disbursements were. So I think what we'll do right now, before we just jump into that, this might be a good segue timer. Are we okay right now on time? Okay, we have a caller, so I'm going to go to the call. This might have been from the last item, so let's go to a caller. I said I was going to take some calls. Nick, are you there?
I'm here. Hey, one thing I want to point out is Shasta County is paying, rounded off, $25 million this year for unfunded pension liability. That comes out of the general fund, I assume. But here's the point I wanted to call about. You take anybody that's retired. You've got Jim Pope at $164,000 a year. You've got Bazinko at $138,000 a year. If for some reason they decided to divorce their wife and marry some young chick, when they die, we'll be paying that pension to them until they die.
Yeah.
Wait a second. That's only if they opt for that. It's not automatic.
Okay. I would have to check that.
It's not automatic. I do that.
Thanks, Pat. I appreciate it.
Check on that. I'd appreciate it. But that's the way I understood it. Thanks for taking my call. Have a great day.
You bet. And that's one of the things. And I want to make sure I make this clear, too. I don't normally take callers. And part of the reason why, and I appreciate that, Pat, is because, you know, I like to make sure stuff is fact-checked. So I don't know if that's true. That'll be one of the questions I've written down here, and I'm going to make sure I ask Nolda Short about that because that's important. That's important for me to understand. Okay, so I'm going to jump actually right now, and I'm just going to go through some of this some of these Zog Fire payments that are going to be going out as a result of the lawsuit. And again, at our next board meeting, we're supposed to have a presentation about how that was handled because I had some questions. The DA's office, obviously brokered that deal. It's a done deal. These payments are going out. But how that works in terms of $55 million is going to be handed out to different organizations, and I believe the Board of Supervisors should have a say in it. Now, the Board of Supervisors is going to have a say in this. This is done. This is moved forward. That's it. But the Shasta County Fire Department is going to receive $15.5 million. Anderson Fire Protection District gets $3.5. So it was interesting. Shasta County, $15.5. Anderson, $3.5. Reading Fire Department, $3.5. So Anderson and Reading are getting the same amount. Not sure what their each annual budgets are, but how those numbers were come up, how those were and again, all of this, I'm just curious how all these figures and organizations were, how we arrived at these people getting these dollar amounts. And again, I'm not saying there's anything nefarious. I just would like to know about it, and I believe a lot of the public would like to know. So Shasta County Volunteer Fire Department, $85,000. I know that the Shasta County Volunteer Fire Department, talking to Chief O'Hara, has been struggling with some recruitment, so that'll be interesting to unpack as we go forward with that. The Shasta County Fire District's $550,000. Shasta County Arson Task Force, $1.5 million. Shasta County Sheriff's Office, $2.7 million. Reading Police Department, $500,000. Anderson Police Department, $500,000. Shield Training, or the Shield Regional Training Center, $2 million. Children's Legacy Center, $7 million. So that's the first one of this group that doesn't, and again, Children's Legacy Center, don't know a ton about it, have toured it. Sounds like a very great organization. I know they do a lot of great work. I've spoken with Kim Johnson, who's the director, had a tour there. Again, not disparaging the Children's Legacy Center at all, but I'm curious about $7 million when some of these other organizations are getting a fraction of that. The Shasta College, $2.4 million. West Community, which I'm assuming is a Whiskeytown Environmental School, $1 million. Shasta County Fire Safe Council, $500,000. Jeremy Stoke Foundation, $280,000. Igo Ono Elementary School, $200,000. Shasta County Youth Fire Setter Prevention and Intervention Program, $85,000. Haven Humane Society, $2.7 million. And I will say Haven Humane Society, when we've had fires, they are, I would say, one of the unsung heroes, because there are a lot of pets and a lot of displaced animals that end up there. And I personally know some individuals that have lost their pets and found them there because their animals took off and they were captured and taken to the Haven. So that's awesome. Bella Vista Farms Animal Sanctuary, $500,000. So, again, and then in addition, PG&E will pay a $5 million civil penalty. And, again, if I hope I'm saying this correctly, but the PG&E will pay a $5 million civil penalty to Shasta County. The financial commitment stipulated in the agreement of a total of $50 million, and PG&E will not seek cost recovery from customers. So there's a lot to unpack there. I know that a lot of the – I shouldn't say a lot. I believe there's 11. I believe there's 11 individuals that have still not settled with their cases with PG&E, and I've had quite a few reach out. I've encouraged them to reach out to Supervisor Garmin. But what we're going to do is it's time for a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the code of conduct from this last board meeting, and we're going to unpack that a little bit. So be ready to call in with that, because I'd love to get some thoughts from some of you about that process. Again, that number to call in will be 530-605-4567. 530-605-4567. You're listening to 96.5 FM, KCNR, your talk radio. We will be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243 CT Reading.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
This is Dan Sloan, chair of the Shasta County GOP. I urge Shasta County residents not to sign the petition to recall local Shasta County Supervisor Kevin Cry. A new California law, AB 2582, allows Gavin Newsom to handpick the next supervisor. They want a liberal Democrat. Keep the Sacramento catastrophe out of Shasta County and do not support the recall. To donate or for more information, go to nooncryrecall.com. Paid for by the Committee to Stop Newsom. No on cry recall.
Plan, save, and enjoy the Shasta District Fair June 21st through 24th. Save up to 30% with your advanced purchase of day passes, season passes, and carnival wristbands at Shasta District Fair and Event Center.com. Click the Purchase Tickets button under the Fair tab. Season pass sale absolutely ends June 20th. Opening day is Waterworks Park Kids Day. Washboard Willie is back, along with music, comedy, magic, carnival, junior livestock show and auction, and so much more. Don't miss out. Now through June 20th, save up to 30% on pre-sale tickets. The Shasta District Fair opens Wednesday, June 21st. It's the place to be.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
We are back. Twisted Sister. That's such a great song. I mean, if you can listen to that song once a day, you don't even need a Red Bull. You just listen to that song, turn it up as loud as you can, and tackle the world. So again, we're going to jump into this code of conduct, and we're going to unpack it a little bit. We may spend the majority of our time on this. So again, I really want some callers, 530-605-4567. So we had a vote this last board meeting about establishing a code of conduct. Which, again, if you read the crazy media, it sounds like three of us just want it to be bedlam and pandemonium. We don't want any type of code of conduct. But that's not the case. What I believe I want, or what I know I want, and I can't speak for the other two supervisors that voted in favor of voting it down, but I can tell you where I am. I don't like virtue signaling. I don't like to put something forth that is just rhetoric or gets claps in a board meeting. And I'm not saying that's what anybody did, but that's how it starts to feel. Our code of conduct in there had a lot of things, and when I say our, the proposed code of conduct was a huge, I believe, not even, I believe, it's fact, redundancy of a lot of things that we already sign up to do either as elected officials or as employees of Shasta County, because we have a handbook, we have a whole onboarding process that we go through to say, hey, this is the process. And so it doesn't feel good to just put more laws in place, or more rules or more regulations. It feels very heavy-handed. And I believe when we have these discussions, and you can look, you can see who really wants to get something done versus who just wants to put something up and see what it gets voted on. I made a counter motion to eliminate a couple of the items, and I just boiled it down to basically three little statements that just talks about a constitutional republic, and we can unpack that at another time about what a constitutional republic is versus people say a democracy. And if you don't, I'll just tell you, if you don't know, a democracy is basically mob rule, and a constitutional republic says, hey, we have a charter or a constitution that that we follow. And so anyway, the thing with the code of conduct is I believe it just needed to have a couple things in there that says, hey, we have the understanding, we subscribe to the concepts of a constitutional republic. It's effective governance by responsible, knowledgeable members of the Board of Supervisors with the understanding that official decisions made and actions taken are always made in the best interest of public service. I mean, we have to all believe that. I believe a lot of I would say all people that run for public office, whether it's a school board, a city council, Board of Supervisors, Assembly, Senate, etc., I would like to believe, maybe it's super ignorant and naive, but I would like to believe people go in with the idea that they want to do good work. They want to do good things. I think what happens is people get in there and they get bribed, they get bullied, they have a weak spine, and they become self-serving, and then it becomes, now that I'm in office, I got to stay in office. So they move like the wind blows, and that's not me. So anyway, the last thing on this, and there was one in the middle too, which was when participating in Shasta County activities, we will treat all individuals, issues, and organizations in a fair and respectful manner. I left that in, even though that's like the golden rule, you should do that anyway. And then the last one, the board may censure a member or take such additional or other action with the board's legal authority against a member who violates the rules or policy established by the Board of Supervisors or violates applicable laws. So that was my motion. It didn't get a second, which I was bummed because I thought it was a compromise. It says, hey, look, if we really want something, we could have done that. And obviously it was the extremes of we're either going to go this far away or we're going to go that far away. So it is what it is. And when you talk about people will say, oh, well, you know, there's bullying on the dais. Or, you know what it's like? There's heated discussion. And I think heated discussion is really, really important. I think if it's all 5-0s, that's not good. And so we have a caller. We're going to take Robert. You're on.
Hi. Hey, Kevin. I just had a question on or just comment on the code of conduct that was discussed this past week. I agree with you that I saw it as a virtue signaling tactic by one supervisor to try to put herself in a place of, being the arbiter of morals and class and decorum. I guess my problem with that is, does that include, the people that support Mrs. Rickert not turning their backs on, on the dais? Does it include Supervisor Garmon not wearing his recall shirt? Who's to decide? I guess my question is, who to decide what is appropriate and what's not appropriate?
Well,
I mean,
that's actually. Thank you for calling it. So here's what I'll say. Like, I can't articulate, nor will I, about what other supervisors are thinking and what they're doing. But this code of conduct was for the board solely. It had nothing to do with the public. But that's actually a great segue because I want to talk a little bit about public comment as well. So just to wrap up the code of conduct, I mean, I would be more than willing, and maybe I will at some point soon, in the next 2 or 3 months, revisit another motion of a code of conduct and put a little bit more into that, because when I was up there and I'm making some changes, and I'd already made them, and I was curious of how the board would move, and I realized, and that's why I didn't put hours into it, because I realized what it was probably going to be, and in fact I was right. It was just going to be all or nothing, which I think is very unhealthy. There's no compromise there, so that's fine. But The thing for me with public comment and people turning their back or screaming out and doing those types of things. So I made a comment in my board report just about I'd like to look at the public comment the way we do it. Now, I am all for, because in my debates leading up to my opponent wanted to move public comment to the end and limit it, which limits the public's voice because, again, you can have a little bit at the beginning and then you move it to the end. But realistically, that's not conducive to actually listening to the public. One of the things, though, what's happened at the county is our public comment. I mean, I don't know. I can't articulate with the city or school boards what their public comments would be if it was could go longer than 30 minutes. But I'd be willing to bet on average, their average public comment may go a little farther than 30 minutes unless there's a specific topic where people want to get up and speak twice, which I get it. Those can be uncomfortable. But I think that's what we've lost. We've lost, as elected officials, listening to the public. I mean, that's why I do my radio show. This gives individuals another layer of access. It gives people an opportunity just to hear if they'd like what I'm thinking and what I'm working on. So with public comment, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about that. And I would like to hear from some of you some different ideas you would have to be able, because we are spending an enormous amount of money on staff watching public comment that doesn't have anything to do with their jobs and moving the ball forward. In private industry, you can't do that. You can't have your employees spending or wasting so much time. There's no investment into their jobs and into the community and into the outcomes that we're all seeking. And I don't have all the answers. I'm just bringing up the question that says, hey, And I've talked to CEO Rickard about this as well, because we have a lot of employees at the county that watch the board meetings for different reasons. And I think that, that's not healthy from a culture standpoint, but it's also isn't positive in terms of getting things done. So I think department heads absolutely have to listen to a lot of that. But I'm looking for ways where we get all the input from the public that we want, but then at the same time making sure that county resources are spent very well. And the last thing I want to do is limit public comment, because that's why I ran. That's why, I believe that the government needs to be given back to the people, and people need to have a voice, and people need to be listened to. And whether I agree with them or not, I think that's important. That's why I'd mentioned that I'll sit up there on another day and let it go on for 10 hours, because I signed up for that. So with that, we're going to take a break. When we come back, call in 530-605-4567. We'll be right back.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Hey there, Marty Mosley here from Mosley Family Sellers. Mimi and I have moved our tasting room back downtown to the corner of Pine and Butte Street across from Corbett's and the Reading Chamber of Commerce. We're open Wednesdays through Sundays from 3 to 7 p.m. and Fridays till 9 p.m. While you're here, enjoy food from the Hearth Kitchen and Pie Shop and munch on some delicious handmade chocolates by Nanette de Chocolate. Come on down and enjoy life with us, Mosley Family Sellers at the historic Thompson House. Come as guests and leave as family.
This is Dan Sloan, chair of the Shasta County GOP. I urge Shasta County residents not to sign the petition to recall local Shasta County Supervisor Kevin Cry. A new California law, AB 2582, allows Gavin Newsom to handpick the next supervisor. They want a liberal Democrat. Keep the Sacramento catastrophe out of Shasta County and do not support the recall. To donate or for more information, go to nooncryrecall.com. Paid for by the committee to stop Newsom. No on cry recall.
Plan, save, and enjoy the Shasta District Fair June 21st through 24th. Save up to 30% with your advanced purchase of day passes, season passes, and carnival wristbands at ShastaDistrictFairAndEventCenter.com. Click the Purchase Tickets button under the Fair tab. Season pass sale absolutely ends June 20th. Opening day is Waterworks Park Kids Day. Washboard Willie is back, along with music, comedy, magic, carnival, junior livestock show and auction, and so much more. Don't miss out. Now through June 20th, save up to 30% on pre-sale tickets. The Shasta District Fair opens Wednesday, June 21st. It's the place to be.
All right, we are back. Ozzy Osbourne, Crazy Train. So we have a caller. David, are you there?
Oh, sure am. You know, it's funny, you're talking about those public meetings and how long they'll drag on and things like that. When I was a kid, my mother was an elected official, my grandfather was, so I thought I'd go up to city council and start to pay attention. And you get to learn about every pothole in every part of town. You get to learn how, you know, the water is running across somebody's backyard into 3 doors down. You learn, you know, every broken branch that's about to fall. You learn some of the most
absolutely,
you know, tiny little aspects of town. But if you're an elected official, you're supposed to know it and remember it. And it's not an easy job. You know, you have to be a detail freak plus, you know, you have to listen to complaints, and not often do you get praise for finally getting something done. So it's a tough job.
Well,
and,
thank you, David, for calling in and sharing that. The one thing with, again, public comment, and I can't stress this enough, I'm just going to wrap it up with this because I know some of the individuals have texted and just called my cell because they don't want to be on air, which is fine. But public comment is essential, and I want people to send in ideas about how to streamline where they feel completely heard. And at the same time, because unfortunately, in the last 2 or 3 years, or since the 2020 election, nationally, meetings are different. I mean, you can, you know, Google board meeting or parliament or whatever, and you see fights and chairs being thrown. It's like the Geraldo Rivera show. And, but in Shasta County, it's so politically polarizing. And that's why I always lead in with Crazy Train with Ozzy Osbourne, because we have this environment now where I just want to get stuff done. I can tell you this, being an elected official, and I think the best elected officials are the ones that have absolutely everything to lose and nothing to gain. I have everything to lose by doing this. This doesn't make my life better. It doesn't make me more money. It's actually very, very, very the opposite. I spend less time with my family. So I think the best elected officials have everything to lose. And I think those are the ones that get the best work done, because that's what it's about. It's about getting in, serving the community, and then moving on. And then, okay, we have one more. We have another caller, so we're going to take this one, because I did ask for calls. Bruce, you there?
Yes, I am. Just a quick few comments. Number one, on the code of conduct, the fact that they couldn't even agree to say, gee, yeah, we'll change democracy to constitutional republic says it all. I mean, that's a fact, and they won't even agree to a fact. And secondarily, you're talking about saving staff time. The fact that the board meetings are recorded, which is invaluable, because I've listened to a lot of them not being there, and a person could be a department head or whatever could say, go to 35 minutes and listen to the public works section or whatever.
Well, you know,
because
what, Bruce,
it's something important.
Bruce, that's a great point, because actually, When I was unpacking the Patrick Minturn deal and the 48% pay increase and the $75,000 or $74,000 roughly hit to the general fund that's going to be, I was upset. So I went and talked to Supervisor Jones and said, dude, you got to be kidding me. So he goes, go back and watch the video. So he goes back, and I go back and watch it. It's June 14th, and I couldn't remember the minute time, but I watched that interaction, and he asked some very pointed questions, and Shelley Forbes, who was the support services director at the time, didn't have some of those answers, which, you know, if you're running a department that big with that big of a financial impact, that should have got pushed if people don't know. And I'll tell you what, and the thing about the Brown Act, you can only talk to one. And that's why I like to talk about a lot of this stuff on the dais, is because I want to talk to my other fellow supervisors about it. And a lot of them just want to jam stuff through and move on. And that bothers me. But anyway, Patrick Jones, Chair Jones, said, that was a mistake. I should have voted no. And he said, you know what? And that actually, I mean, when you can say, I was wrong, I'm sorry, or I don't know. And sometimes I've had to say all those in the same moment. But when somebody says, hey, I was wrong, I mean, I can appreciate that. I've been wrong on things many times in my life. But there's one thing that I know is the public, the meetings being recorded are a huge asset. And they've been a huge asset for me as I've looked farther back into more and more things that have happened in the last 2, 3, 4, 5 years. Last thing I want to talk about, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, so I'm going to have to push it, is on the 25th, we're going to have the tribe, the Redding Rancheria deal come up. They're actually, we've got a deal on the table. Do I think it's the best deal ever? Not necessarily. Do I think it could have been better? Probably. But here's what I will tell you. The Rancheria has been absolutely patient in their handle or in their dealing with the county, because they have dealt with, I believe it's now, 4 CEOs and 6 different representatives in this negotiating process. And now you look at like Butte and Tehama County and those counties and those tribes that are in those areas and the money that the government has said, hey, this is the financial impact. This is what we think you should pay. I mean, we are, I believe that number was in the 300,000s. Of what they said the tribe should be paying, and we're being offered $1 million. We're going to unpack that on the July 25th meeting. I think that is a very, very important meeting for anybody to listen into because I'm very supportive of the tribe because they are a sovereign government, and I appreciate what they do, especially for kids in Shasta County. Don't forget.